about getting to know Isaiah, which basically we're just opening up Isaiah and learning what the Bible says about Isaiah. And what God says through Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet of God, which means he speaks to the people on behalf of God. God kind of leads him in what he's saying. He's giving revelation to a degree. When we think about prophets, he's not just up there as a fortune teller. But he is kind of letting people know, here's what God says is going to happen, or here's what God says he wants you to do, here's what God says he wants you to know. And so he's speaking to the people on behalf of God. He is an Israelite. He is speaking now to a part of the kingdom. His ministry mainly is going to cover a lot of time after the other half of Israel has fallen into captivity due to sin. Sin is the issue. The nation had turned away from God and had started to do their own thing. Now, they still have a form of religion, and they would still go through the motions and activities of religion, but they were not following God and obeying God. And that's where we are a lot in America. We still have a form of religion. We understand, we acknowledge there's a God. I think sometimes people think they're a Christian because they're not an atheist. That makes sense. As long as I believe there's a God, I'm a Christian, and that's just not true. And so we recognize, that being Christian has a lot to do with obeying, following, living what God teaches. And so Isaiah is going to address them again in the second chapter, and that's where we're going. We've covered the first chapter, and it's taken us some time. We want to look at the second chapter today and see what Isaiah says to this people. And I'm going to give you what we call our life application. And I always try to give that at the beginning or the end, or sometimes both. And this just simply means, as you think about this sermon today, I want you to think about applying it in a certain way. How do I apply this to my life? And it says, because of the world's future, obey God when? Today. Today is the day to live for God. We sometimes lose sight that there is a different day coming. A day that's going to matter, and we need to make the right decisions today. And as we do that, it's going to affect what happens for how we participate or how we're part of that future. And so we're going to take a look. Isaiah is going to give to Israel a look into the future. Now this is going to be, these first five verses, going to be a pretty exciting look into the future. And it's going to be something you will recognize. All right? So it's not something new. You're going to recognize this. But I want you to see it this morning. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And as we look at this verse, the introduction is almost exactly the same as it was in chapter number 1. The only difference is that in chapter number 1, he lists the kings during the time that he served. It gives kind of a time span when he was there. So he's just saying, here's the word that God is sending to this nation. When we open up the Bible, we're sharing the word of God to the people that are listening today, our generation of people. The Bible is not something that's just old and for a past generation. It's for us. And so he's opening this up. Verse number 2, he says, and it shall do what? What does it mean it shall come to pass? It means this is going to happen. This is a guarantee. Here's what God has established to happen. It says it will come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall do what? All right, so I want you to kind of just grasp this. We're just backing up, we're going slow, we're going back like we used to do a lot of times, just taking the verses, breaking them down a little bit, saying, what does this verse say, and how do we understand it? He says here, it shall come to pass in the last days. That means we're looking now towards the end of the world. What's happening when all of this is done? Which tells us something. This isn't all there is. This world that we're living in right now, this time period, this is not all there is. If this is all there is, there's no reason for us to be here today doing what we're doing. That's why the Bible talks about those that in their day and time said, hey, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. That's it. There's nothing else to live for. Just live for today. But we are Christians. We live for a different day, which means we make decisions today based on that future, not based on our feelings today or just what we want today. And so it says there's going to be something that happens in the last days. And he talks now, he says, the mountain of the Lord's house. In the Bible, and really the Eastern religions and all, they understood mountains. They saw them as a symbol. Now, they're not saying that the mountain is actually where God lives, but it's a representation. And so when he speaks about the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, what he's saying is, in the end, God is going to be exalted above all other things. So if mountains represented the rule or the sphere, the authority, the government of a nation or a people, he's saying the mountain of God is going to be exalted above all others. That's simply telling us what we already know. That in the end, God is going to be exalted. God's going to be lifted up. God's going to rule. God's going to have the final word. In the end, it's all going to be about God. Does that make sense to say it that way? In the end, it's all going to be about God. And so when you're doing that, if we were to go to war, we want to be on the winning side, right? If there was a way to know who was going to win, that's the side we want to be on. I saw a shirt while we were out of town, and I loved it. I should have bought it, but I didn't like the shirt itself, but I did like what was on it. It was an American flag, and it said, back-to-back World War Champions. I like that. That was pretty good. Back-to-back World War Champions. And I said, it just had the American flag. I thought, well, that's pretty cool, right? And so we want to be on the winning side. How about life? You know, acknowledging God but not living for God is not being on God's side. And so when we look here, he says there's going to come a day, in the end, God's going to be exalted. He's going to be lifted up. In other words, whatever you do, you need to think about God. However you live, you need to live in obedience to God. He says at the end of this, all nations shall flow unto thee. He says, in the end. So the mountain or the hill that is most often referenced to being the home or the location of God is Mount Zion. You have over in Jerusalem. And so we recognize that. Notice verse number 3. I'm going to break this down. If you're looking in your Bible, you're going to see verse 3 as a whole section. But we're going to break it down into phrases as we go right here. So in the end, here's what he said. The mountain of God's going to be exalted. It's going to be lifted up. And many people shall do two things. Go and say. So many people shall go. In other words, people are going to be at the place and say, here's what we need to do. Second part of that. They're going to say to each other, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Think about that statement. And we look at things today, and we have several people that are vacationing. We have people that are sick. And I just want to say, I try to say at the beginning of the summers and stuff like that, I understand you're going to take vacations this year. That's okay. I like to be informed when you're going to be gone. That helps me to know where you're at, that everything's okay. But, you know, I'm not mad. You don't have to be scared to tell me we're going to go away. We got two families at least going to be on vacation. Actually, I think we might have three families on vacation next week. Yeah, but that's okay. But what we want to know is when we look at this, he's saying, We see a place where people are going to say, hey, come let us go to the house of God or to the place of God. Now, we think about today how hard it is sometimes to get people to be interested in coming to church. Why is it, and don't answer this, I'm going to throw this out there, then I'll answer it for you. Why is it that people have a hard time finding an interest in being in church? I'll give you one of those reasons. One of those reasons is for those, like when it was my time, when I was really hard for me to get in church, it wasn't because I didn't believe. It's really a lot because I did. There's a guilt problem there. You know? I knew I wasn't living right, and it was hard to go into church and to face that week after. Number two, a lot of people just don't see the benefit. They don't truly believe that there's coming a day when this world comes to an end and God's going to step out and take control. They don't truly, like they can acknowledge it, but they don't truly, truly, truly believe and understand. And they don't recognize that, hey, there's coming a time when we are going to be accountable to this God. And so we don't see people flocking to church. Now here, they're not just going to flock to church. Where are they going? To the mountain of God, to the city of God. Where is that? It's Jerusalem. Where is that? That's in Israel. Think about what's going to change in this end time. People are not only going to find an interest in coming to know God here, they're going to say, let's take a pilgrimage there. Let's go to where this God is at. Let's be in His presence. But think about the difference. How hard is it for some people to just get up and come to church? And these people are going to say, hey, let's travel. Let's leave where we are and pay the fare. Let's pay the price. Let's pay the cost. Let's get ourselves to that country, to that city, to that place where God is at. Notice the next part of this. Why do they want to go to where God is? It says, and He will teach us of His ways. This is not just speaking, this is not speaking about the Christians here. He said, all people. There's going to come a time when God sets up a kingdom here on earth, and this world is going to recognize something. This God that is established this kingdom, He is all that matters. So let's leave everything and go to where He is, and let's learn about Him. He will teach us His ways. He will teach us His ways. Think about the difference in where we are now. Because even if sometimes people will come to church, they're not coming with the idea, let's go to church and learn about God's ways. But here people are saying, let's pack our families, take all of our stuff, and let's go to a place where God will be so that He will teach us His ways. Next part of this verse, and we will do what? Let's go. Let's take the effort to get to where He is, and He will teach us His ways when we get there. And as a result of that, we will then walk in His paths. In other words, they're not just wanting to come and to hear a sermon from someone. They want to come and learn from God. What is your way? What is your desire? What is your plan? What is right? What is wrong? When we're debating everything, our country is being divided over all sorts of issues today. But what's going to change is there's going to come a time when God sets up a kingdom and they're going to come to Him and say, what is right? How do we see this? How should we understand this issue, a moral issue, a world issue? How do we see this? How do we understand that? Teach us your way and we will walk in that path. That is an amazing thing. Yeah, that's for us to understand. Now think about Isaiah. Isaiah is talking to a nation of people who is seeing the world around them by cults and pagans that are ruling and conquering nations and establishing false religions. And Isaiah comes in and says, I want to remind you of something. In the middle of all this conquering of this other world that you see, remember this, there's coming a day when God will exalt this place and exalt Himself, and all nations will come unto this place, and they will come here so that they can learn about our God. And so that they can walk in His way. You know, we think sometimes about God coming back and forcing people to serve, but we see here that people are going to want to come and know the truth of God, and they want to come and learn from Him and know, and they want to change their life. You know, I did ask people, I said, you know, how's God blessed you? But here is going to be a different question. I could have asked you the question today, and I was kind enough not to do that because I wouldn't want to be put on the spot. But I could have asked you the question today is, when God saved you and you began to learn about His way, what are some of the things that God changed about your thinking? Many of the people in this room have changed their minds. Once they got saved, they changed their minds about sexual things. They changed their minds about lying. They changed their minds about substances. So, you understand what I'm saying? God changed us. We learned of His way and He changed us. And so we live differently. And there's coming a time, we may feel like we're losing this battle. That's why I always try to say, don't get caught up in the political battles of today. Understand this, when this world comes to an end, God's going to be exalted. And what's going to matter is people will then come and say, God, what is it that we should know? How is it that we should live? I was talking to my pastor this morning. He said, you know, these people seem to think that America is theirs. It belongs to them and that they're supposed to shape it. And he says they just don't understand belongs to God. You know, that's exactly what we're talking about today. Is there going to come a day when they begin to realize there is a God and he is here to rule this world, and we're going to come to him to see how he wants us to live this world. The next part of this, so they're going to come, they're going to learn. They're learning for the intention of obeying. And it says, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So just think about this. When you see Jerusalem, when you see Israel on the news today, I want you to always get a mental picture of God ruling this world from that place. That'll change the way that you see this world and the way that you see everything else. And think about it. Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? We see this world today, and all we seem to talk about is how corrupt and how hard and everything that it is. But just look at the news tonight. Just open up a map and look and say, you know what? Our God is going to rule this entire world from that location one day. That's an amazing thing. People through the years have always tried to say, hey, you know, you need to go to Jerusalem. You need to see where Jesus walked, and you ought to go to Israel. And I've just never been a world traveler. That's just not my thing. And God is really going to have to change some things about that for me to want to go to Israel. And it just doesn't seem to even be safe right now, right? There is coming a time that I'm not going to mind going over there. That's when God rules and everything will be okay. I got that one down. I've already got my plans to go there during that time. I'll see all of it I need to see during the millennial reign. If y'all want to go with me, I'd be glad to take you during that time. But we look at this word, and it's an amazing thing, not just to go and see where Jesus walked, but where God will reign. So look at that place and say, you know what? One day from this city, my God will rule this world. And that's going to be an amazing thing. Next time that we do get worked up, and we've got plenty of things to get worked up about, and not just our elections, but elections and things that take place all around the world, and you watch the news and get worked up, just take out a little map, pull up in the little city of Jerusalem, look in there and say, you know, it's all okay, because one day my God's going to sit right there from that place, and he's going to rule this world, and everything will be all right. That changes so much stuff. When you look at your own world and you see it falling down around you, you can just remember there is a God, and he's going to rule this world, and he's going to make everything okay. The day of all of these sorrows is going to be over. The day of all these fears will be over. The day of death will be over one time. There's going to come a time when God is going to rule and reign. And when we see that, he says, so for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. When God sets up his kingdom, he's going to issue laws. He's going to issue the same laws, the same understanding, the same standard of righteousness and holiness that he's been giving out for all these years. And Israel knows these laws, but he says, to Isaiah saying to those people, he says, look around and see the rebellion of this world. See how they're prevailing and they're conquering. But understand this, one day our God will place his rules upon them. And they will come to this place to learn those rules and those laws and learn holiness. He says, so for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I'll give you verse number 4. Verse number 4 is probably one of the most recognized. I was reading this, and it said it was one of the most recognized verses in the book of Isaiah, and it's not the only recognized, but it does have something very important in here. What's going to happen when God sets up this rule and reign, and people begin to come to him to say, how do we shape our way? How do we shape our lives? How do we shape our thinking? The Bible says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. That does change something about the idea that God's just going to embrace everybody and everything, right? He's going to rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Last Sunday we did our Memorial Day service, and we talked about all those that have given their life for us to have our freedom. And I made a statement. I said, wars will not end until God comes back. And Isaiah says, when God sets up his kingdom here, there's going to be an amazing thing that takes place around this world. They will not learn of war anymore. What does that mean? There will not be a need for trained soldiers. No militaries. I'm just being facetious, but you know, when you think about certain political parties that want to disband or cut back our military and stuff, one day they'll get their wish. So, hey, just hold on. One day we'll get on board with you. But for today, we're not. But when God sets this up, what does it mean that they'll beat their swords into plowshares? He says they're going to take the weapons of war and they're going to turn those into means of producing harvest and fruit and land. The amazing thing is, think of it this way. All the resources that go to fighting wars will then go to feeding people. And that's amazing. It would be great. It's going to be great to know that there's a world where there will be no war. That you'd never have to worry about seeing someone leave home and go defend a country or a nation, never to go on a battlefield. To sit with the veterans and to see them years later still fighting the battles in their minds. And say that these will never have to go through that. They'll never learn those things. They'll never learn to defend and to fight and to kill. Our God will be in control. That's just amazing. To think of where, this is a picture of our future. This is where the world is going. This is real. This is sure. This is happening. He says that they will beat their swords into plowshares. They will their spears and pruning hooks, nations shall not lift up sword against a nation. You see, I can travel then and not worry about anything. We can freely see the world that God created and never be a foreigner. We'll be welcome in places. You understand? We're talking about our world, but under the rule and authority of God, the way that God meant for it to be. He says, neither shall they learn of war anymore. Verse number 5 comes in, and it's very important. So I want to back up and give you a picture, because in this story, I've been talking to you, but Isaiah has been speaking to a nation of Israel. What's happening all around them? Battles are happening around them. Wars are being fought all around them. Nations are trying to conquer, and their people are fighting to control, have control of the whole world, and they're dominating people, and they're taking people into captivity, and they're forcing their laws and their religions upon them. And now Isaiah looks around and he says, there's going to come a time when people will not learn of war anymore. There will come a time when our military can let down and not be, we will need that. We'll take all of our resources and we'll feed people. But Isaiah says to this nation of Israel, you already know this. They don't. You know this is going to happen. You know our God is going to be exalted. You know he's going to rule and reign. And as I've preached here this morning, some of you have said amen. The meaning, that's I understand, I agree, I know, I'm looking forward to that day. But I want you to see what he says in verse number 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What's Isaiah saying to them? We already have this light. Why aren't we walking? We already know this truth. Why aren't we living in obedience to our God? What Isaiah does is he lays before them this picture of this world that's going to be. And even under the soil, under their feet, that very ground that's clinging to their shoes, he said, God's going to rule from this place. Why are we not serving him? Do you remember what our life application, based on where the world and the future of the world live for God today? We are guilty as Christians of living as if there is no God. We are guilty at times of doing our own thing, of being unfaithful. Think about a day when people will come to a nation, to a city, to be in the presence of God and look around and say, we live in a place where people can be in the presence of God and his people and learn the word of God and live it out, but we're not doing that in our own country, in our own place. Notice in verse number 6, because there's going to come a warning also. Now, a warning to this very people that he's speaking to. Notice what he says in verse number 6, therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. What I'm trying to get you to look at today is there's coming this time when, as we look at God, Isaiah says to them, he says, you've got to understand, you're not living as if you're under and serving this God that's going to rule from this place, and therefore you're going to miss out when he does it. Don't think because you're in this geographical location that you're going to be included in this. Don't think because you acknowledge God over here, but you have other things. Notice what he said. He says, God, you've forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. Why? Because they are replenished from the east. In other words, they are making alliances with other nations for military might. They need to be reminded what? That the only military might they need right now to rely on, the only coalition they needed was not with pagans, but with God. Because he's going to rule and reign. It also says that they're soothsayers, that they've gone to sorcery. Says they're like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. In other words, they've left being committed to the people of God, and they're now embracing everything. That's a picture of where America is. And when I say America, I mean the church, the Christians in America. I'm not talking about everyone that we think is a problem, because the problem in America is the Christians, those that go by the Christian name, the church, embracing things of the world. Verse number 7, we're going to move really quick through the last few minutes of this, so stay with me. The land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasure. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Horses and chariots represent their military might. That's what they use for military. What did they have? They had a strong army and a strong economy. And what was the result of having a strong army and a strong economy? They didn't feel the need for God. Are you seeing the parallel? We're living in a place, we kind of feel that God's blessed America because we have a great army and a great economy, but what has been the result? We don't need God. And again, I'm not talking just about those people out there. I'm talking about the people that should be here as Christians, those that go by the name of Christian, that God has blessed them. And they have more than they've ever had. And they feel safe and they feel secure. Therefore, they don't feel the need to call on God to live by God. When I was out of church, you know why I was out of church? I mean, one, I was doing my own thing. But it came down to a place where I began to lose everything. That I realized, you know what, I can't just say I'm a Christian and think God's going to take care of me. Everything I have, I knew inside, I could tell the voice of God, if you would, that he was taking from me everything that I felt secure in. And I couldn't do the simplest things by myself anymore. I don't mean tie my shoes, but man, I couldn't provide for myself. Everything I would try would just fail. When my life began to fall apart, I knew exactly what it was. I had left God. And for the first time in my life, even though I grew up as a young child and was saved when I was a young child, for the first time in my life, I really began to realize how much I needed God. That I couldn't just coast through life and God was going to provide for everything, that I needed to serve God. And that's why that I made the change and the decision. I went back to my parents' home. I went back to the church in which I grew up in. And I began to commit myself to God. So when I met my wife, I had the struggles and things that she was saved shortly after that time, but I never committed myself to her, and we never got engaged. Thing, so she was a Christian. I began to realize I could easily go down a wrong path, and we began to build our life together. When she was saved, we made choices and we made decisions, and I taught her why it was important for me to live for God, and that living for God taught her how to live. Those are the things that we had in our life that we built our life upon together. As we did that, we began to realize that as we love God, we were teaching others to love God. And that's why we're a part of what we are today. And we kind of come to this. We won't have time to finish out the rest of this chapter, but you're getting the idea that Isaiah is looking at these people and he says, you know what you've done? You've trusted in your wealth and your warfare, and you no longer see a dependence. And only when we come to the place to look back and say, you know what, my life is what it is because I've made a mess trying to do it myself. I need God. And I don't just need a God on my dashboard or a God as a token. I need God. Later in these verses, and we'll probably get to them next week, he's going to say, that when God comes to establish himself, they're going to take their idols that they've been holding on to and they're going to cast them into the caves and stuff. As they flee and try to hide from God, what they're going to see is everything they held on to, everything they desired, was not able to save them, was not able to help them. And they release those things, they cast those things away. There's going to come a time in our life that you're going to realize you need God and you got to let go of everything else and live for God and serve him. Now I'd like to ask you, just take a moment, if you would, just bow your head and close your eyes this morning. As we kind of come to the close of this, our life application is still the same as we started. Because of the world's future, obey God today. We need God today. It's not enough to claim there's a God. We have to live for God today, which means learn of God and obey his rules. God has a law for a reason. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. All around this place today, though you know who God is, there's times in our life that we're guilty of not serving that God, of not obeying him, because we become comfortable. There was a time in your life when you knew you depended on God to provide for you, family, to lead you. There come times in your life that you begin to realize that without God, you couldn't do it. But there also comes times in our life when we forget that. We start to do our own thing. And we become less dependent upon God, which means we become less faithful. And I want to call on you today to do something. Make a new commitment. Recommit yourself today to serve him. To recognize how much you need him. To take up your Bibles again during the week. To read about him. To get to a place of prayer again during the week. To call on him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, today as we come to pray, we thank you for the opportunity to learn as you taught Isaiah.